The events that you just witnessed are of epic proportions. I'm talking about volcano, tidal wave, rocket launch. They produced something. Explosive energy. I say it again, explosive. That did what? It resulted in extraordinary change. That's what God wants to do in the heart of every single person. Explosive energy that brings extraordinary change. Ron, what do you mean? So glad you asked. Open your Bibles if you got one. Luke chapter 24. If you don't have one, that's no problem. You can do one of two things. You can listen as I read along, or you can do this. You can grab one from a seat back nearest you, and you can turn to page 884. We are starting a series. Yes, Revived. The title of the message today is simply this: Opening My Mind to the Resurrection. And what I want to do is I want to give you four resurrection reminders that my hope is that it will open your mind. So let's look at Luke 24. Look at the story. Verse 1, let me read. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Boy, I thought I'd get something on that today. Don't give it now. It's too late. You'll get one more chance. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened. They bowed their faces to the ground to the men and said to them, Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. That was better. And they said, remember how he told you that when he's still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he will rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of Jesus and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for the hearts that are represented in this room today, for those who are watching, for those who are listening online. I pray that you would use your word to move us. I pray as we reflect upon what transpired on that day over 2,000 years ago, that our minds would be enlightened and that you would have your way. If you agree with this prayer, say amen. Resurrection reminder number one. If you're a note taker, simply write this down. The resurrection is an undeniable event that defies human understanding. That's right. It defies human understanding. It's like this. It's like trying to describe, if you will, the splendor of a newborn baby. It's like trying to describe the beauty of a rainbow. I mean, talking about the resurrection and trying to get a grip on it, it's almost like this. It's like trying to untangle the mystery of the Milky Way. And I'm not talking about the candy bar. But what's the word? Look with me at verse 4. What's the word as these women gathered? What's the word that describes their reaction in that moment? Can you tell me? It was perplexed, right? So what does that mean? It literally means this. They were perplexed. What that means is that they could not connect the dots. See, this is why they couldn't connect the dots. See, their leader, the one that they followed, their friend, that miracle worker that did so much for so many, they had watched him be falsely accused. They watched him be arrested. They watched him be wrongly tried. They watched him as he was brutally murdered. They watched as he was confirmed dead, and the soldiers did what? pierced his side to guarantee and make sure. They watched as someone removed him from that cross and laid him in the tomb. And finally, they were there. The women were, yes, to do what? To go there to give him what he so well deserved, to be treated finally with some dignity, that they would take care of the body. But what was the problem? The problem was he was gone. He wasn't there. It defied human understanding. It's interesting. Probably the greatest thinker of our day, of our time, Albert Einstein, he believed in the person of Christ. He believed in the historical Jesus. When asked about it, he said this, I quote, "Unquestionably, no one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus." Isn't that something? And then he went on to say, "His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." But listen, he didn't grab hold of the resurrected Jesus. He didn't grab hold of that truth. I remember talking with my father, and it took him years and years, because why? The resurrection defies human understanding. And sometimes we can't quite connect the dots. I remember talking with my dad, and we would go to church. Yes, we went every week, but there was questions that he had that went unanswered, and that prohibited him from taking a step of faith and believing fully in the resurrected Christ. Why is that? Think with me for a moment. Why is it that we have so much difficulty getting to that place? Why isn't this the resurrection? Why don't people flock to it like it's the latest and greatest cellular device? Why not? I'll tell you why. Because resurrection reminder number two, understanding the resurrection necessitates a supernatural encounter. It's supernatural. Like there's something that's got to happen. A spark's got to go off. And you're not the one to make it happen. Look with me at the text again. Look at the end of verse 4. And what do we have with us? We've got two men, the text says. And how are they dressed? In dazzling apparel. Now, these two men are just not normal men. Other places in the scripture reveal that, yes, they were messengers, but they were angels in dazzling duds. I think this is why people get dressed up at Easter, because the precedent was set with these. And so as I stand here dazzling you, I think this is the biblical evidence for getting dressed up. Some people ask me, they say, "Pastor Ron, we didn't know you owned a tie." But what did they say? What did they say? Look with me at the text. I mean, it is the best line. If this was a movie, then I guarantee you this would be the one that people would repeat. Look at it with me. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" What a great line. Like, you guys came here, you're looking for somebody's dead, man. I know it's a tomb, but why do you look for the one who is alive? Why would you look for him here? You didn't think that God was going to do something. You didn't think that God was going to move. You would think that God was going to let his son just stay in this tomb. Why do you seek the living from the dead? And then look what they wanted to say. They started describing. They said this, "He is risen. He's not here." Remember, guys, girls, he told you. He told you what was going to happen while he was in Galilee, that the Son of Man, Jesus, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified. But on the third day, man, I mean, this is the story. He's going to rise. Woo! Now listen. I don't want to offend anybody specifically, but it's interesting to me. There's no biblical evidence that says these women were blondes. But I imagine them twisting their hair, and I imagine them chewing their gum. I'm getting some dirty looks right now. And I imagine them saying, "Oh, that's what he meant. Now I get it." Now listen, before we go too far, I was just kidding. But everybody missed it. The blondes and the brunettes and all the people who were what? Every single person missed it. His closest group, they missed it. Why? Because it defies human understanding. Why? Because it requires a supernatural encounter. Look with me. Jesus had told, keep your finger in Luke chapter 24 and flip back to Luke chapter 18. It wasn't like Jesus just said this one time and somebody was nodding off and they missed it. No, he said this over and over again. Guys, this is what's going to happen to me. Look what he says in Luke 18, verse 31. He says, in taking the 12, his closest companions, he said to them, hey, see, we're going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated. And they're going to spit upon him. And after the flogging, he says this, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. But look at verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. See, some things we can get on our own. 2 + 2 = Boy, you are a little slow on the uptake there. 2 + 2 = If I drop this bottle of water, guess what? It's not going to hit the ceiling, right? Law of gravity. We can get why the Cubs have not won the World Series 1908. I mean, we understand it. Management doesn't get it, but we get it. But the resurrection, you cannot get it on your own. The resurrection is something that you can't come to. You can't just purchase it off the shelf at Walmart and grab it. You can't get online and search for it and get it that way. No, the resurrection, it's what? It requires divine intervention. It requires something outside of yourself that has to happen inside you for you to totally understand. I remember when I had my supernatural encounter. And some of you know Jody and my story. And it was during our first year of marriage. And it was just like this. Like, it was a bit of a mess. And we had some marriage difficulty. I won't tell you the details. We'll save that story for another time. But we walked into a pastor's office, and he had an interesting question to us. He said, I've only got time to answer one question, so you guys tell me, do you want to talk about the mess that your marriage is in, or do you want to talk about the forgiveness that's available in Christ? And Jody looked at me. I looked at her. We had tears in our eyes. He said, tell us about Jesus. Tell us this thing. And I'm telling you, 45 minutes later, man, he described something that I grabbed the benefits of forgiveness, and I knew that the weight of sin, it was gone. And I walked out of that office, and I felt like something had changed. I was revived. And so please, listen, because this series, we're going to walk through, I hope you'll choose to hang with us. We're going to walk through the entire chapter of Luke 24. I'm going to go sentence by sentence. We're going to go word by word, and we're going to look at this topic of revived. But before we do that, over the upcoming weeks, I want us to get a working definition of what it means to be revived. Good idea? Like, let's all be on the same page. What does it mean to be revived? Well, something's got to go on in your head. Something has to happen in your mind for you to be revived. What? My mind, it has to be convinced. My mind, it has to be enlightened by truth, biblical truth. It has to be enlightened by the truth of this book and the gospel, the story that we are studying today. So my mind has to be enlightened, but it goes one step further, and too many people fall short. It needs to hit the heart. And the heart needs to be what? It needs to be transformed. And the heart is only transformed through the grace of Almighty God. Ezekiel chapter 36, the prophet says so boldly that we need a heart change. He says that heart needs to change because it's too hard. And he wants to take that heart of concrete and make it a heart of flesh that beats for God. But thirdly, there's something that resides in each of us. It separates you from the animals, from the other things. What is it? It's the soul. And when the head and the heart are connected in this way, the soul is awakened. By the Holy Spirit, the soul is awakened to spiritual life. That's what it means to be revived. And Jesus, he said it the best. He said it's like this. You got to have a second birth. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, the first birth, physical birth, you coming out of the earth, that's not enough. You got to have like a spiritual awakening. You need to be revived, and it needs to happen. It's got to be a spiritual birth where you can point to a time and place where you arrived. Not arrived as in I have it all together, but arrived able to come before me where I can clean you up and move you forward. That's what it means to be revived. But I know as I say those things and I look into your eyes and I can tell that many of you are with me and you say, yes, I know what it means to be revived. Then you know this truth. And I know you know this, but for those who don't know it, let me warn you. I feel a little bit like the rerun show that I used to watch when I was a kid and it was Lost in Space. Anybody used to watch that? And then the robot would come and the robot would give the warning, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger, Will Robinson. I guess this section never saw that show. But what's the warning? Well, the warning is this. It's resurrection truth number three. It's the reminder that explaining the resurrection always, I say always, provokes controversy. It always does. You can guarantee one thing. If you bring the resurrection out and you boldly proclaim it, you're going to get a little pushback. It's going to give you a little controversy. Take a look at the screen. These are magazine covers from the most popular periodicals that people read. And these are the covers that represent several years. Always this time of year. Guess who's on the cover? He made it again. Jesus is on the cover. And guess what? It's always this time of year. And I can guarantee you this, when you take a look at the story, and I hope you do, you'll look at it with wise eyes. And there's going to be a group that's going to say, yes, he did. And there's going to be another group that's going to say, no, he didn't raise. And they're going to paint some doubt. But why? Because there's always controversy. I read a statistic this week that floored me. 30% of professed Christians do not believe in a bodily supernatural bodily resurrection. They don't believe that Jesus rose physically. Like he's alive. Like the Apostle Paul says, without the resurrection, guys, I hate to disappoint us, but we got nothing. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, without the resurrection, it says that I'm a fool. It says, you're to be pitied. We have nothing to stand on, no leg at all. But it brings up controversy. Now, here's my favorite magazine cover of Jesus. Take a look at it with me. He's got the shades going. See that? That is the ultimate hipster Jesus. I don't know if that's an actual photo, but that's a joke. But you say, what's the controversy, man? Like, when did it start? You'll be surprised to know. Did you miss it? It started in the inner circle. It started with the guys it shouldn't have started with. I mean, look with me for a moment and look at what the girls did. I mean, they're flying high, man. They have been heard. They've been revived. They're moving forward. They can't wait to tell the guys. And so what do? Is they run back to where the men are. And I'm telling you, their feet didn't hit the floor. It didn't touch the ground. They're going to tell the boys. Look who's with them. It says, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But look at verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they didn't believe. What? Really? I mean, they heard it. They didn't. They refused to believe. Yeah. Controversy. Difficulty. They didn't have the divine encounter, the supernatural intervention that's needed. It didn't happen for them yet. Now, it's interesting to note for those who are sitting here and you hear people say that the gospel not only was written after, which certainly it was written a little after this time period, and not that many years had passed, but for people that say that it's not true and it was written and they said and they made this story up. Have you heard that? It's like this was made up and Jesus didn't rise. And let me draw your attention. Verse 10, it lists all the ladies, okay? We lose track because there's so many Marys. It gets a little confusing. Which one is which? But it says that the women are the ones that found out first. Let me just enlighten your mind for a moment, because if you were going to write this story in the first century, which it was, and if you were going to try to convince someone that this was true, you would never, and I apologize and excuse me, you would never use a woman to do it. Why? Because a woman was treated as a second-class citizen in that day. Because a woman was what? Her testimony wasn't even received in court. I mean, why would the person try to prove this with women? It would not be accurate. I'm telling you, if they wrote this thing up, they would have said the guys did it. But this is something that I'd like to write on your hearts. And so as we go forward, the scripture says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And as we move forward with the resurrection, just because someone may reject the resurrection doesn't mean that we're to neglect the resurrection, because someone is always ready to accept the resurrection. Are you hearing me? Let me say it again. See, sometimes there's a lot of controversy and there's a lot of people, and just because some people reject this truth and they reject that Jesus died and they reject to believe, it's for us, we're not to neglect sharing it. Why? Because somebody is always ready to accept it. Tweet of the day. There it is. Say it one more time. Just because somebody rejects it doesn't mean that I'm to neglect it, because someone else is ready to accept it. You say, who? You say, who? Well, hold your applause, because it's coming, man. I didn't read the best part. Did you see? Look with me at verse 12. I cut it off. Maybe you read ahead and you skipped over. Look what it says about Peter. Who's the guy Peter? What did he do? I love the adjectives. It says he rose and he ran to the tomb. He's the self-proclaimed leader. He's the one, let's remember, that he had three fails in the last 72 hours. I mean, this is the guy, what did he do? He rose, he ran, he stooped, he looked in, he saw the linen cloth, and they were by themselves, and he went home. And what does the text say? You tell me. He marveled. He marveled at what he saw. He didn't see Jesus was there. I think what happened here, I don't want to push it too far, but I think he was revived. Anybody with me? And guess what he had to do? He had to check it out for himself. Just like you and I have to check it out for ourselves. And we need to check it out by stooping and looking and checking and seeing so that we can believe. Why? Because resurrection reminder number four. Lastly, it's this. Believing the resurrection demands a personal response. It demands a personal response. See, we have to grapple with it. We have to do something about it. You can't let it sit. You have to act by faith and trust. In a moment, you're going to see a couple people who have been revived. And you're going to hear their testimony of them being revived. You're going to watch them be baptized as they proclaim that they've been revived. Isn't that good? You ready? But hold on, hold on. But what I want you to do as you're listening to their story, I want you to ask yourself one question. Can you guess it? Have you been revived? I don't want you to think about somebody else that needs it, somebody else that's in a bad place. I want you to think about yourself, because we're all in a bad place without Jesus. Anybody? And so think while you're listening to this story. Think about yourself and ask yourself the question, have I been revived? Now, before we roll the video, I've been doing this long enough to where there's three responses to that question. So I'll ask you to think about where you are right now. And the first response is, yes, I've been revived. And if that's you, I want you to do this. Can you begin praying for those who have not been revived in this moment? The second answer, I think you could guess what it is. No, I haven't been revived. And if that's you, I'm telling you, you can be revived today because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is available to give you new life. Third group of people. And this is the one where my heart goes out the most, because this is the camp I was in for a long, long time. I'm just not sure. Like, I've been to church. I know what you're talking about. Like, I'm just not sure. I don't have any confidence. I don't really know. And if that's you, you can have confidence today. You can be sure. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, John says, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things so that you may know that you are revived. You can walk out of here with confidence today.